Welcome everyone. We'll make a start. Live streaming in accordance with the council meeting administration policy, this meeting will be recorded and live streamed to the general public. The recording will remain available to the public for 6 months. If you would like to leave prior to the live streaming, please do so now. No? Okay, thank you. If you have any questions, please contact the governance department. The safety announcements, evacuation details and information are located on the wall near the entry to the chambers. In an emergency, alarm will sound. Wardens will assist with your evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate in a calm and orderly manner via the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point in the car park beside the town hall. The audio and recording's on. Not yet? Okay. We'll just wait. Technical issues, okay. If we go longer than 40 minutes, we'll be doing Elon Musk, you realize. Feel free to talk amongst yourselves for a little while till we get you all clear that we're up and going.
That's a little joke.
All right. We have some advertisements featuring well.
We don't normally have those issues, John.
Yeah, short
interruption in transmission.
Ah, the test pattern. Cool. Righto, everyone take your seats. Checking, we are live, we are recording. Yes. Yes, we are. Very good. So as Mayor of the Meander Valley, Wayne Johnson, I declare this meeting open at 3:04 PM. Attendance apologies, all councillors are here, there are no other apologies from staff. So acknowledgement of country, I begin today by acknowledging the Palitau and Panihia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of land in which we gather today, and I pay my respects to the elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Also pay my respects to those that came after the traditional owners and the custodians. Moving on to confirmation of the minutes. The council receives and confirms the minutes of the last ordinary meeting held on the 9th of July. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Loder as a mover. Seconder, please. Councillor Smedley, thank you. I'll put the vote. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Put me over the page, sorry. Declarations of interest.
We have two declarations of interest, Mr Mayor. One from Councillor Loder relating to item 12.1, planning application 121A Dexter Street, and a second declaration of interest from the Deputy Mayor Cameron relating to item 12.2, which is a development application at 9 Franklin Street, Westbury.
Thank you, General Manager. No other declarations, councillors? Okay, there's no. Thank you. You've got the council workshop report, which is on page 8, which shows what the councillors were up to at the workshop. We move on to Mayor and Councillor Reports, which is on page 10, which is Council Announcements and Acknowledgements. Are there any other Councillor Announcements or Acknowledgements? I'll ask at this stage. Councillor Temple, with your microphone, please, Councillor. You might move your microphone a bit closer, John.
I'd like the meeting, Mr Mayor, to note the death since our last meeting of former Westbury councillor, Mr Philip Beveridge. Philip was a family man, a farmer at Alva in Beveridge's Lane at Hagley. He was also operated an agricultural contracting business. He had a deep interest in his community and will be sadly missed.
Thank you, Councillor.
His photo appears three times over there.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other announcements, Councillors? Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. On the 7th of August, I attended and represented the Council for the Homeless Walk in Launceston. And I noticed Councillor Loder has done somewhat similar with a homeless meeting. I just say it's a reminder, probably, if we need one, that the growth of homelessness in our community and more broadly, it's a rapidly growing social change and challenge. As a community and as a council, we need to do all we can, obviously, to assist those that are facing these, I think, generational challenges. Should always be top of mind, I think, Mr Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor House. Totally agree. Anything else, councillors? Councillor Loder.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to commend our Meander Valley's very own Science Week to everybody and encourage my councillor colleagues who haven't done so already to attend. It's next door in the town hall. I was at the opening and world-renowned biologist Dr Sally Bryant described the exhibition as one of world significance. So we're very fortunate to have it next door. It's on 10 till 3 until Friday. It finishes 3 o'clock on Friday. So please, if you can, get along. It's really worth it and you'll find out what a slime mould is. And don't think that the name is indicative because it isn't. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Anything else, councillors? No? Thank you. Moving on to page 11, which is petitions.
There's no petitions received and no actions on previous petitions, Mr Mayor.
Thank you. And we're also moving on to community representations. We have a community representation from Mr Malcolm Eastley regarding Tazwater issues in the Meander Valley. I'll ask Malcolm if he would like to address the council on that one. Standard practice, Mr Eastley, is 3 minutes and I'll give you a bell at 2 minutes and 30 seconds to let you know.
Mr Mayor, I'd like to draw the Council's attention to the problems Tazwater is causing in the Meander Valley. At the time of critical housing shortage, we have a situation where people living under the Hatton Bridge, within sight of 1,000 home sites which have been held up for 5 years due to Tazwater being unable to guarantee sewage services. There are opportunities to solve this, using an example that's proven in Tamworth and Dubbo, for example. Water not fully treated to drinking water status can be used to irrigate polycrops. It should be possible to expand the treatment plant capacity by about 20%, and at the same time that will reduce the Tazwater treatment costs by the same amount. Tazwater was formed because councils could not afford infrastructure rebuilding, council loans being restricted in 10-year terms. It requires an initiative cooperative procedure through both the council, through the regulator and Tazwater itself to try and work a system of longer term loans for infrastructure projects. Last time I spoke to council on the effect Tazwater pricing was having in the Lorraine, we came with a petition with 13 signatures on it. Four of those have since had to walk away from the business and the fifth one has closed up recently, hopefully just for winter period. But in large part, the problem faced by those businesses were due to the price structure of Tazwater pricing. Volume pricing was adopted at short notice for caravan parks and offices, and that means that caravan parks mostly being owned by council. Council offices, including this one, Tazwater offices and the regulator's office, were all calculated under completely different system about ratepayers. Tazwater produced a extensive and extensive Jacobs report to look into the problem and then ignored it. But I'd like to quote you from that. quote, the consumer groups, office and caravan parks, an advance guard of customers who do not want to be charged high fixed charges that are not related to the actual discharge or service levels, unquote. That's the problem we have, and it's crippling some of our small businesses, both food and accommodation places for staying.
Yeah, thanks, Malcolm. I guess I'll respond and then Chair may want to respond as well. Thanks for continuing to raise the issue with Tas Water with us. I've got the added burden, I suppose, of being the Chief Owner's Rep, representing the 29 councils from around the state that go off and talk to Tas Water. I've got to say, since I became Mayor 5 years ago, the tone of Tas Water has certainly changed. I guess that's a change within the officer level as well as the board level as well. There are certainly regulatory requirements that you're aware of which we can't and they can't change overnight. I certainly have pointed out to them the cost to businesses and the example of the grease traps that were put on businesses in the last 5 to 6 years has certainly crippled some businesses. It's a slow-moving entity, I guess, in that sense, but it's also controlled by, well, not controlled, with the 29 shareholders plus the state government. It's also basically a government business as well, so there's some complexities in it. But I am working, Malcolm, as I can to do that, and I'm sure that we will see things happen in the near future, but the near future may not be quick enough. It could be 3 or 4 years' time. But thanks for your interest, and thank you for your submissions that you keep putting forward. So thank you. Now, whether you've got anything to add, General Manager, on what Malcolm's raised?
Ms. Reesley may wish to ask some questions in question time, which is next, so right. I'll wait for that. But we've recently met with Ms. Reesley, and he provided us with his thoughts on some of the pricing methodology, and I did actually pass it on to Tas Water, who are conducting their review currently.
Thank you. Are there any additional community representations from the gallery before we head into public question time? Take that as note. Thank you. So I'll move into public question time. So question time normally goes for about up to half an hour, depending on the chair. If you have a question, you've got 3 minutes to ask a question. And again, I'll try and time and let you know at 2:30. I have been known to be a bit flexible with time if you haven't quite got your question out.
Can I just ask a question? I had a question on notice. Do I need to stand up and speak it, or...?
We're nearly there.
I'm sorry, I don't know the process.
No, that's all right. So we're under questions with notice. So questions with notice have been provided in the agenda, and the response should be on the board behind me with the response, questions or notice, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. So the response to questions with notice have been published in our agenda, which was on Council's website last week and will remain on our website. So those questions and answers can be viewed there. But we will soon move into questions without notice if anybody would like to ask additional questions.
Yeah, so if there's additional questions to be asked, you can come forward now. So I'm going to actually open it up for question time. So we're going to ask, are there any questions without notice from the gallery?
Yes, there are.
Thank you. So I get you to come forward and state your name with 3 minutes. And just bear in mind that this is not a debate, it's a question, and we'll take them. If we can answer the questions, we will. If not, we'll take them on notice.
Rebecca Handy, 73 Williams Street, Westbury. You did drain upgrades to the eastern side of Williams Street between Dexter and King, and the camber of the road and the continuation of the camber of the road, which was the verge, which then shed the water down into the drains, which ran the complete length of that block between King and Dexter, have now been filled in. The verge, which was the continuation of the camber, have now been filled in and replaced with grates, 4 to 5 grates, which are set approximately 100 mil off the road, which haven't even been parged, continuation now. As a grader operator and someone that builds roads, I'm aware of the percentage for a camber. This camber has been totally destroyed by the continuation of the verge being now level. The water now runs the road, and the grates that have imaginary signs that now say to the water, can you please exit here, The water runs completely past the grate. It's now running between the lip of the bitumen and the start of the verge, guttering it out and creating its own gutter where proper, probably, curb and gutter should be. So my question to the council is, when are you going to fix that and put it back to what I had before, which was the most outstanding curb and gutter you could have had on the town? And being that my cottage is 1860 and 2 metres from the pavement, I have no safety barrier out the front of my property now. William Street is so much more busier with all the development going on. People do not drive 50 up William Street, and I can vouch for that. So when am I going to get curb and gutter and a correct functioning gutter? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. Questions? Do you want to take one?
With regard to the question aspect, so this is correct. There were large open drains in the section of road that we're talking about on William Street between Dexter and King, and we undertook a capital works program to pipe that and install drains, and that was following concern that we'd received from community members about the depth of those that drainage work. So we regarded that as an improvement. This is the first time that your concerns have been raised with me, and we'll take your concerns on board and see what can be done to address the particular elements that you've identified.
That's it, thank you.
Thank you.
Got another question.
More, yep.
A green overlay. What green overlay does the Meander Valley Council have in 2024 going forward? With all the development that's going on around the town that I live in, which is Westbury, I'm witnessing devastation and I'm witnessing loss of permeable ground. I'm witnessing the construction of modern urban drainways to take beautiful water straight out to sea now. No permeable ground and not enough permeable ground to be left. So my question to the council is, what are your permeable ground percentages on new developments going forward in 2024? What are your canopy percentages for cooling in a warming climate going forward? When they established Westbury, the English were smart enough to plant trees that grew and created canopy for cooling. They didn't have air conditioning back then. So my question is, I know how I live in a property that has canopy for cooling. What's the council's canopy percentage going forward? Where is your tree registry for trees of significance in this municipality going forward so we can save them because they're needed? And where are the wildlife corridors you're catering for in a rural community that's been sliced, diced, chopped up, fenced? What are you doing to encourage and help that side of the community? And what are you doing for your hedge protection? The state government put out a heritage report on Westbury, and it did state that Westbury was founded on its hedgerows. Now, I'd like to know why the hedges aren't protected and why developers are just allowed to rip them out and replace them with timber fences. I know you don't do boundaries, however, Westbury was founded on those boundaries. They are of significant heritage to this area. They are important wildlife, sound, all of it. They encompass everything. So what is the council doing to protect the hedges? And why are they protecting them? It's 2024. A hedge, when it gets to 400 years, which they can live to, according to the British Agricultural Society, they're classed as ancient at 225 years. They're drought tolerant. They're a bonus to this community. So what is your green overlay in the Meander Valley? And do you have one? And are you going to produce one?
Thank you. Thanks for the question. We'll take that question on notice. Any other questions from the gallery? Sure.
Sean Manners from Westley. Two questions but related. So, Policy 91, Climate Change Mitigation and Action, was rewritten and adopted in April 2024, so 4 months ago. one of the key actions was that within 12 months, a greenhouse gas audit of the Meander Valley Council would be undertaken. So it's now 4 months. When is it likely that the greenhouse gas audit will be undertaken?
Yep. So that's correct, Sean. The policy 91 was reviewed in the current calendar year, which is really good. Identified a carbon audit to be undertaken by council. So that has commenced, and we have council officers have provided input to a consultant to form that report. We've received a draft report. We've had an initial conversation with council around that, but what we would like to do is a further body of work around risk assessment around the impacts of climate change, which we'll also be doing, and believe that those two combined will give our councillors the opportunity to identify what actions that they would like to take in the future. So we are currently working this week, in fact, on commencing that risk assessment, which will work with a final carbon audit to inform our position in the future.
Well, that's great, thank you. And the other part of, well, one of the other parts of the policy, which was a huge improvement on the previous one, was that there would be training for staff and community awareness of climate change. Is that in train as well?
So through you, Mayor. That's right. So I sort of referred to that risk assessment that we'll be undertaking, and there's a number of staff that will be involved in that workshop this week. To put a number, about 20 staff will be involved in the development of that and the discussion around that. As far as community training awareness goes, there's nothing identified specifically at this point in time. I know that the Northern Tasmanian Alliance of Resilient Councils has undertaken some public sessions in the past, and I don't know if there are any scheduled at this point in time, but yeah, I guess that's a further development work we'll have to do, Sean, but we don't have anything locked in at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. Oh,
can
I get the questions too, so
to
put in
a minute,
correct?
Pass them at the, yes, Andy, as you go past. Thank you. Any other questions? Yep.
Be possible. When we moved to the Meander Valley region, so this area here, Meander, Mole Creek, Chudley, Deloraine, Westbury area, we like everyone else that lives here really appreciates the natural values of the area. And so we live in really marshy, and there in particular, the ambient sound level is very low. So it doesn't take much to make us aware of new noises around. So in the last couple of years, there's two quarries that operate in our area. And the noise from that, which consists of usually the sound of excavators or maybe crushing equipment or rock breaking equipment, it's like this rumbling noise that we hear, which is very disappointing to us. And I know that others in Green Marsh complain about the noise as well. Disappointingly enough, it can start from 6 in the morning and can last the whole day, and also on the weekends. So my question is, does the council have the authority to make amends for this, to do something about this high noise level that we experience? And if it doesn't have that authority, if it's the EPA that has that authority, what effective method is there? For example, can the hours of operation be restricted to maybe just in the week or to start later in the day so that it doesn't disturb us, because we are in a natural area where quietness is something that we really cherish. Does that question make sense? What is there an effective way to try control that noise for us.
Yeah, thank you for the question. We'll have to take that on notice and get back to you with, because you've asked sort of numerous questions within that question, so if you're happy for us to come back to you, we certainly will. Thank you. Another question? Yep.
Thank you. Just a question relating to the statement I made. Would Council please consider organising a meeting of all our councillors and some small businesses involved in the food industry and also in the accommodation industry within Del Lane so they fully understand the problems we're facing?
Yeah, Malcolm, we will take that to a workshop and discuss at a workshop and obviously potentially come back to you and ask you your thoughts on those businesses because you've probably got the contact. Thank you. Any other questions?
Shamelessly, given the recent incident on May 22nd on River Road, and that involved a collision between a tipper truck, heavy vehicle, and a domestic animal, bovine. In this case, the cow had to be put down, euthanised. The fact that a part of the bauxite application in the traffic impact assessment report, Appendix D, prior accidents highlighted included a rollover of a dog trailer from a heavy vehicle truck and dog trailer combination following a swerving incident on Porter's Bridge Road. And also in the report deemed Porter's Bridge Road as unsuitable and below standard for heavy vehicles at this site, particularly width of road, site distances and single lane bridge over the Yandra River. You can refer to that as an assessment that they've done. My question is, how would Yandra Valley Council ensure the safety of residents, tourists, bike riders and general road users along River Road and Porter's Bridge Road in the future if they vote to allow the ABX bauxite mine application to proceed, which would increase the heavy vehicle traffic along Porter's Bridge Road from 18 to an estimated 96 heavy vehicle movements, an increase of 78 truck and dog trailer vehicle movements with a gross vehicle mass of 60.5 tonne each, and in addition, an increase in light to light rigid to heavy service and staff vehicles along River Road and Porter's Bridge Road. Thank you.
Sure. Chair?
Thanks, Shane. So we're talking about the ABX application that Council has received around a mining operation off Porter's Bridge Road from Reedy Marsh. We had some questions at our last council meeting around infrastructure, and this is along the similar line. So we advertised the application info, which included a traffic impact assessment, as you've referred to there. So the current status of that application is that it's been referred to the state government, who make their own assessment, and we're awaiting that. So depending on whether the state approve their side of that application, it may come back to council, and if it does come back to council, that we will have to consider what the infrastructure impact would be from any permit through that application process, and we'll be making an engineering assessment of Porter's Bridge Road if it does come back to council. So no decision has been made at this point, but as I sort of have said previously, it's something that will definitely be assessed should it come back from the state government. So take your comments on board, Joe.
Thank you. Any other questions from the gallery? Take that as no. All right. Thank you very much. So for those who have questions today, could you please email a written copy of questions to ogm@mvc.tas.gov.au by tomorrow morning. Or you can, if you've had, you can also hand write your questions. You'll find clipboards with forms and pens in reception, or if you've already done it, just pass it to Anthea as you walk out the door. Thank you. Thank you. Lovely question. Thank you. So, yeah, if you want to leave, if somebody wants to leave, you can now before we head on. If not, we'll continue on. Yep.
Will you be replying to my question on notice by an email or something?
It's in the agenda, but I can email it.
Can I pick up an agenda somewhere?
Is there one on the door there? I think there was.
I think there was one outside, we'll just check.
Cool. Yeah. Is that the big fat thing?
Yeah, yeah,
that's just going to have some fun with you.
Okay, moving along to councillor question time. We've got no questions on notice that have been received from councillors at this meeting. Are there any questions without notice from councillors? Very good. Councillor notices of motions. There were no councillor notices of motions were received. No. Very good. Moving along. Okay. What I'm missing is a little blurb that I've got to read out. Before I move into planning inquiries. So moving on, in planning matters, Council acts as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, and the following applies to all planning authority items. So there is a strategy in place there. So we're moving on to planning item number 12.1, and we did have somebody speak on that. Anne-Marie's leaving the room, thank you. We had a Rebecca Hanby to speak before we put this item up. Same rules apply, 3 minutes. Rebecca, I'll give you a ding at 2:30. All yours.
Rebecca Hanby, 70 Street, William Street. Ratepayer, owner-occupier, 24 years. I'm completely opposed to this reapplication of this plan to up it from 7 to 10, and I'm going to tell you why. The extra roofs are going to shed more water. It's a flood-prone block. Those extra roofs are going to be on my boundary, where there's only going to be a certain amount with the 7, there's now going to be 5. I'm opposed to that. On the 18th of September, I had your plumbing inspector, Wade Haitley, in my backyard, along with Krista, who works for the council. I called them down there over my concerns regarding 75 William Street and the major altering of the land height next to me at 75 William Street, which is now a metre higher than me. So when I put it to Mr. Haitley that now that 75 William Street are a metre higher than me, and 121A Dexter are going to be 600 mil higher than me, over half a metre higher than me, what's that going to make me, Wade? And his reply was a stump. I will refuse to have my property turned into a stump by all this building going around my property. Not enough permeable ground left for any stormwater to escape. I'm completely opposed to it. I will not be turned into a sump. Now, what's also come to light with this planning application is that the sewage line is now going to be placed behind my boundary. The sewage line for the 7 originally was running through the property. The sewage line in the 10, in the new application for the 10, is to now run behind my boundary. And why is it going to run behind my boundary? Because 75 William Street, planning application 23/0048, can't gain fall for their sewage and their stormwater for one and or more properties back to 75 William Street, which states on your website that for developers, infrastructure needs to be in place before development begins. Well, that's not the case here. So from where I'm standing, or living and witnessing and having to deal with, 75 William Street's an illegal build. They've already tried to steal 5.6 metres of my land, which I have proof of. I had to engage legal counsel. 5.6 metres of my land to lay 1.8 metric tonnes of concrete to shore up their altered block height. When I put it to one of the developers, who is a councillor from a neighbouring council, that why can't you put your 1.8 metric tonnes of concrete on your side of the property, his response was it won't work. So now it seems to be that 75 William Street need a sewerage outlet at the rear of their property to make their property work. So with the stroke of the pen, councillors, you're going to be highlighting your own failings in your own planning process in passing off. 75 William Street was passed off under a special clause by one person alone, the general manager, and there were five submissions against it. It was wrong when it was a picture on paper, and it's still wrong now it's built, and now they require a sewerage outlet to be behind their fence so they can hook in to make another wrong right. This is not going to make it right. I object. You are highlighting a flaw in your own processes, and you are also now highlighting a flaw in the Tasmanian planning scheme, where one set of plans does not fit every single block of land in Tasmania. It just doesn't. It needs to be workshopped correctly. It needs to be understood. My partner, who's a builder of 25 years, tried to tell Mr. Jordan this. When we invited Mr. Jordan onto the property to have a look, his response was, I can see from the street. Well, you can't see anything from the street. It's wrong. I'm completely opposed to you. If you sign off on this upping of three more properties to 121A Dexter, you are highlighting your own failings and you are highlighting the failings of the TAS planning scheme. It is illegal.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. My councillors, do I have a mover and a seconder for this particular planning application? Councillor Dadman is a mover. Seconder, please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dadman is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Completely unsurprised that I get to move popular applications, as always, but that's fine. Thank you, Ms. Handy, for your representation. I know that we met the first time when we were discussed 75 William Street. You were the first person I met with as a councillor, and it's a shame that you feel that you're in this situation again with this development application. I do have a couple of questions, if I can turn to them now, Mayor. First, in reference to the comment about the property being turned into a sump, Mr. Walker, do you have any response to that, specifically in relation to the flooding concerns, management of water on the property?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm the developer there. I thought I would give you the opportunity not.
Sorry, that was not aware that you were given the opportunity to speak. I was not told that.
I rang up and asked and said that I would be.
So, just. Wes, can you just go and have a chat with the gentleman at the back to see when that happened, please? We might just hold for a minute, George. Happy to, for the developer to address. We haven't gone into a seconder of the motion yet. No, sorry, we're seconded. We haven't gone into debate. Happy for that, Wes. I'm looking to you. Yep. Right, as the developer, yeah, you did get your chance. Sorry for that. I was.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, we did. I did. Yeah. This afternoon, ring up and say that I would have a chat.
Right.
Ian Ganellan, 24 Summit Drive, Devon Hills. For the last 20 years, I've demolished, built, and now building units. I've got a professional team that does that work. Currently, just finished six units in Carrick, starting five in Cressy, and another five planned for Cressy. In that time, finding that the cost of red tape has gone through the roof, and affordability of units is becoming quite difficult for people to purchase on the incomes that they are on, with the interest rates increasing. Currently, I've got one unit left at Carrick, three-bedroom one. I'll go to two-bedroom in the future. Lesson learnt that you get to a certain price bracket, you lose purchases because of that. So hence, this property here had 7 approved. It doesn't work. There's a huge amount of red tape. You'll be well aware that's come in for developers to do and put those products at a reasonable price, and the cost to develop that has become prohibitive. So hence to 10. As a developer, I had a development in Longford, copped a heap of flack on that in relation to the drainage. A house on the bottom side would continually flood. In completing the 6 units that I built there, we solved their drainage problem at the same time. So I am considerate of neighbours. I think Robert and Helen Badcock's asked for a 1.8 metre colour bond fence. I'm quite happy to oblige in doing that, and I'm quite happy to talk to neighbours if they've got perceived drainage problems, if we can resolve and sort that out in our plans going forward. So that's all I'd like to.
Thanks, Eric. My apologies that you didn't get the chance to have that at the start. George, back to you. There was a question asked. Krista? Any mic buttons if you're ready to go?
Thank you through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, in response to the question, Councillor Dudman, and the issue of the sump being located on the adjoining property. Ultimately, it will come down to the design of the detailed design of the unit development. This particular recommendation includes conditions requiring there to be an overflow drain path. Now, that is to be directing water through the natural overland flow path that occurs on the site, which is away from the representor's property. There's a requirement for the finished floor levels for each of the dwellings to be increased by around about 300 mils in the maximum locations above the flood level, which is around about, within the flood assessment on page, it should be a page 113 of the agenda, it shows roughly the indicative depths of the flooding sections through the site, which we're talking around about 150 mils at the maximum location, which is centrally and to the east, which is favouring the eastern side of the site. So these floor levels will be raised individually and then shaped around to ground level. It doesn't mean that the entire site is going to be raised by uniform depth, which will mitigate this the notion of a sump. So it's, if you can imagine, the levelling will be isolated mounds where the houses are, and then for all of the surface water to be directed to and shaped into the driveway, which is going to then direct that water through the natural overland flow path. Firstly, as well, all roofed and hardstand areas will be directed to the pipe system to begin with. And it's only going to be when that pipe system is at capacity and there is overflow, that's when that will occur. So the overland flow path is a 1% annual exceedance probability, so a 1 in 100 year event. All of the rest of the stormwater should be designed to be retained on site. There's also additional conditions about stormwater retention, as well as being directed to the pipe system in the first instance. So the sump analogy should be seen more so in isolated areas where it will be mounted and then shaped back down to ensure that there's no concentrated runoff apart from this overland flow path, which is a natural feature of the site. So does that assist?
Yeah, General Manager, just before we go a bit.
So just to further to the expert planner there, we did receive the endorsed plan from Hydrodynamica, which proposes solutions, and we've also introduced a number of conditions to the permit to address stormwater runoff, height, and the overland flow path as well. So those conditions have been recommended to address some of the concerns raised.
Ben,
Thank you. Secondary question on density, because it is always a concern when we're dealing with development like this. Obviously going from 7 to 10. In terms of the density levels, where does that sit with regard to the minimum requirements and what is being proposed here?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So with respect to density, it's located in the general residential zone. The acceptable solution is one dwelling per 325 square metres. The density for this development's been calculated to be one dwelling per 396 square metres, so it exceeds it by roughly 70 square metres per dwelling. So it does exceed that. It meets the acceptable solution, which means that we don't need to go into the assessment of the performance criteria.
Thank you. I will be considering those points, and
thank you.
Would look forward to what everyone else has to say in this consideration.
Thanks, Councillor Dubman. Councillor Cameron, second of the motion.
Thanks, Mayor. I had a couple of questions, but Councillor Dubman has covered off on those, so thank you. And I do think that probably we got this right when we approved 7. I do find 10 units difficult to comprehend myself. Appreciate the work that's gone into this though, and we did have a really good discussion earlier, and Councillor Dubman has asked some of those questions again. I did just want to say thank you to the developer for considering the neighbours. I think Mr and Mrs Badcock's request was quite valid, really. They did say they weren't against it. They just had a request of 1.8 metre fence, which I think was appreciated in considering that. So I'll wait till I hear the rest of the debate, I think, before I may have any other questions.
Councillor, open up for discussion, councillors. Questions? Councillor Sinfield.
Consultant planner has mentioned, these dwellings being raised up, they are further bumps, a technical term, in the landscape. Do they alter in any way the overland flow? I mean, you're saying that's directed to the roadway up the middle, but the mere fact that they exist and they're raised up higher than they were before, the on-site detention, does that mitigate the fact of there now existing as a higher, an obstacle in the landscape, I guess, is the question I'm asking. What's the impact of that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm not a hydraulic engineer, but the impact of having the mounds or the slightly higher building areas is that the outcome is it will be designed. It's a designed outcome to ensure that where there are raises, that they then fall into the driveway, which becomes the overland flow path. So the recommended conditions have a number of checkpoints, which would be that it would be assessed by council's engineers to ensure that the falls are adequate and correct. So certainly, as it currently stands, those mounds would be impediments, but the idea is that the detailed design stage will allow the designers to shape the site to ensure that they don't become impediments, and that they are trying to direct water away from the adjoining property owners.
Councillor Smedley.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, if you could, the driveway. It's obviously around about 70 metres. Could you just explain to me, is it possible for vehicles to pass?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, look, the driveway is proposed to be a 5.5 metre width hard stand or concrete or asphalt. Under the planning scheme, that meets the acceptable solution for the number of vehicles served. There, it should provide sufficient width for two vehicles to pass concurrently, with vehicle width to be around sort of 2.4 to 2.5 metres. So it's likely to be tight, but there is allowances. Certainly when you get into the body of the site where the dwellings are, there's going to be opportunity to turn off slightly within the spur driveways and those sorts of things. But within the access strip itself, there should be the ability to pass concurrently, albeit it's likely to be tight.
Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Sinfield.
I hesitate to ask this one. Given my understanding of who provided the water modelling report, what action did we take internally or externally to, if you like, peer review that report? And basically I'm going to the fact that the report's provided by somebody who has a connection to the application itself, as I understand.
Somebody talked to
me. Through you, Mr. Mayor, the report has been reviewed by staff internally, but also a third-party consultant has provided an independent review of the report and has assisted with the condition of the application.
Thank you.
Okay, councillors, any other questions? Comments, Councillor Kelly? Pass the wheels.
Yeah, look, I do find the team's jamming them in there fairly tight. I'll have no option but to support, as we all understand, being a planning authority, to a degree our hands are tied, but I would much prefer a few less development dwellings on a site this size, just to create a little bit more space. But those people that are doing the developments have worked out the best way to get bang for buck, but I'm not necessarily certain it's the best for the long-term future.
Thanks, Councillor. I've got a question for you, Councillor Sinfield, regarding garbage collection within this potential 10 units. What will occur there? Will our contractor be able to get in and get the garbage bins out of this particular subdivision, or will all the bins be taken to the road, or what's occurring?
So, Mr. Mayor, the recommendation includes a permit note number 4, which establishes that we will not accept curbside collection from Dexter Street. And that the applicants, if they do receive a permit, will need to contact council as infrastructure department, and that we will seek advice from our service provider, which is JJ Richards, for our curbside collection, garbage and recycling in Westley. So we will seek advice from JJ Richards as to whether they believe that their trucks can access the property in a safe manner to collect bins internally within the property, and that the decision will be made by them. And depending on the outcome of their advice, the applicant will either we will be able to facilitate something, or they will need to seek a private collection, which does occur in some other properties of a similar nature.
Thank you, Jim. Councillor Sinfield, you have no
question? No, I wanted to make a comment if I can. Sure. Save for hearing something that might change my mind between now and a vote, I can't support this application. Whilst it's a new application, not the one that was before us a couple of years ago, I opposed that for very similar reasons. I don't believe that what's effectively a street with 10 dwellings in it, that it's appropriate not to have the width for or have presented us with an option that has pedestrian access separate to the driveway. I just don't believe that whacking a 10 kilometre an hour sign up is an appropriate mechanism for dealing with what I view as a street. And it goes hand in hand with several other items there, the setback issues that have triggered the performance criteria. I just don't believe they're suitable. If there'd been a reduced number of units, then it might be a different matter, because if you were to reduce the number of units, you spread them out, you make more room for some of the shortcomings as I see it, and for that reason I won't be able to support the application before us today.
Thank you, Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you to the representatives as well that went to the effort of making their concerns known to us. There are a number of things to consider here. I'll certainly have some concerns about the density levels and also the water issues that have been raised, drainage and overflow, etc. But to Councillor Kelly's point, we are obligated to make a decision on this based on the planning scheme. I will be supporting it. With some reservation, I must admit, I had some concerns about the dwelling density, but it is quite clearly conforming. One dwelling per 396 square metres, exceeding the minimum requirement of one per 325. So that is clearly conforming there. Also, the site coverage of roof buildings is 30.5%, as the allowable is 50%, I understand, George. So it clearly is conforming to the plan scheme in that instance. I would like to see less too. However, I don't think we have that latitude based on the planning scheme. Also, I had some considerable concerns about the water, the drainage, the overland flow and all those things. We've had discussions about them. I believe that those matters have been adequately dealt with to the satisfaction that I think I can vote in favour of.
Thank you, Councillor House. Open up for discussion. Any more discussion, councillors? If there is no, we'll go to the second of the motion, Councillor Cameron.
I think Councillor House just summed it up really well.
Thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd agree. I think the report that's been provided and the fact that it's been twice checked over by other groups really shores up its legitimacy and our reliance upon it. We talk about the failings of the Tasmanian planning scheme, and I think that this could be seen as a case in point where we don't have the latitude to make decisions as freely as we would like in terms of density and other issues that arise. But the fact of the matter is that the density does fit within the planning scheme by quite a wide margin. And that it is largely a compliant application. I always respect Councillor Sinfield's comments because he always gives well-formed reasons for voting either for or against an application. But in this instance, I wouldn't be as confident in him in voting against this because I believe that it sufficiently meets the planning scheme. I do welcome the developer in making a representation stating that he would work with neighbours. I do hope that he stays true to that declaration and he works with the Hanbys should this application be successful, but I will be supporting this one today despite some reservations.
Thank you, Councillor. On the basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Smedley, House, Johnston, and against. Councillor Temple and Sinfield. Motion is passed. Thank you. So moving on to the next planning item. On Franklin Street. Just want to make sure we haven't got any speakers before I move into this one.
None that we're aware of.
I just wanted to play the court again. That's good. Thank you, Councillor Cameron is there now. Welcome back, Councillor. Motion. Somebody like to move, please. Councillor Dudman, Councillor Kelly. Thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Generally speaking, I am supportive of this development application. I did note the representation made by Mr. Manners with concerns about the hours of operation of the lights. And we did have a discussion earlier about that, and we did check with the applicant about why the 4pm to 11pm time frame was given. Obviously, in reference to that, it was an overcautious allotment of time to make sure that they will always comply with the time frame and that they don't accidentally slip over. I didn't have the direct conversation, but my understanding is, and I'm sure staff can add on if they wish, that generally speaking, the job will be done well before 10:30 at the latest, but won't be carrying on to 11. And I am sufficiently comfortable in the fact that it won't be every night that lights are on from 4 to 11. And furthermore, that we will be making sure that the lights are placed in a way that lowers the impact it has on neighbours, which of course goes to point 2 and 3 of the permit, the last two points, which will ensure that the plans meet the Australian standards to the extent that really there is limited scope to have an issue with this application if it is meeting the standards that are at a national level. So my question is, would you like to add anything else onto that? Or are you happy with my rant, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment to my... Yeah? No? Okay, it's up. Sorry, three.
Just I think where you were going there, Tash, was that the public agenda has had two additions. That's number 2 and number 3. Perhaps you'd like to talk to those, please.
Thank you. So through you, Mr. Mayor, in light of some additional information that has come to the attention of Council, we have added two conditions to the recommendation. One condition states, prior to the commencement of works, amended plans must be submitted for approval to the satisfaction of Council's town planner and environmental health officer. When approved, the plans will be endorsed and form part of the permit. The plans must be drawn to scale with dimensions and must show the surrounding sensitive receivers are all within the limits of the ASNZ 42822020 control of the obtrusive effect of outdoor lighting. So this condition has been recommended to be able to ensure that the amenity is maintained at the adjoining sensitive receivers to be in compliance with that stipulated in that Australian standard to do with the obtrusive effects of outdoor lighting. A follow-up condition is also recommended, which states, prior to commencement of use, the following must be submitted to the satisfaction of Council's town planner and environmental health officer. Point A, a validation report completed by a suitably qualified person to demonstrate that the external lighting operates in accordance with the ASNZ 42822023. So this condition is recommended as a way of verifying that when the lights are constructed, that they are orientated and placed in a manner which is, again, ensuring that the amenity and the values that are being received at the adjoining sensitive receivers are within those stated in the Australian standard. So with those additional conditions, I think that it can offer some surety that the proposed light poles and the level of illumination of the site and potential on adjoining properties can be maintained within the Australian standard. And with that, it's recommended for approval.
Thank you, Tash. We probably should have had that in right at the start, but anyway, there it has been explained. That's amendments that's only come in pretty much today, so from what was published in the agenda. Councillor Kelly, the second on the motion.
Yeah, look, this one is relatively simple from my view. I'm very satisfied that the 11 o'clock is it's just there as an absolute emergency buffer zone. I think it's quite exciting, very straightforward, and I have no issues with it.
Thanks, Councillor. I have no further discussion. Councillors. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My concern is relates to the 11 o'clock closing time, the games for the lighting. I understand the concept that it would normally be concluded by 10, and it's exceptional circumstances that it would be 11. But my concern is years from now, when there's other management operating the bowls club, maybe there are a lot of young people that are happy to do things later hours. Having the 11 o'clock there may become the rule rather than the exception. And I would like to find a form of words that can go in somewhere that makes it quite clear that 10 o'clock is the normal and 11 o'clock is just under adverse or unknown circumstances pushes it along beyond the 10 o'clock.
Thanks, Councillor. General Manager.
Yes. So the proposed hours are the application that we've received from the club. That is their wish. That is their application. So if we were looking to change that, you would have to move an amendment to the motion that's before us today to introduce the change. But I'll pass over to the team leader, town planning, to provide some context perhaps around the hours. Hopefully you can get some reassurance from that. But in order to try and craft something that you are trying to achieve there, you have to move an amendment, Councillor.
Three, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the hours of operation, as Councillor Dubman mentioned previously, the applicant has indicated whilst the proposed lighting is going to enable competitions to be played during evening hours. At the moment, they're restricted to daylight hours. In moving forward, they will be looking to have a competition which is likely to be the Friday and or Saturday night, only one night, to free up weekends to hopefully have more attendance to those competitions. However, in saying that, the reason why they're proposing the 11 p.m. Closing or shut off of the lights is to provide for contingencies in terms of when the competition has been run. So in that, they are anticipating that they will the competition will be concluded by 10 o'clock, but they don't want to be bound to a 10 o'clock time frame if the competition gets late, and therefore there'd be compliance responsibilities in response to that. Our recommendation and our assessment of the hours of operation, I believe, is that it's acceptable. So as the General Manager has indicated, you can apply to move an alternative motion. However, if this development is approved and if there is a impact to amenity arising from the hours of operation, perhaps to do with the lighting impact, there is the possibility for Council to investigate that and look to issue an environmental protection notice. Now, environmental protection notice can amend a planning permit, and it could look at amending the hours of operation for this proposal to limit it back if it is demonstrated that there is an impact arising or an environmental nuisance arising from the operation of this permit. So if approved and if it is demonstrated that there is an environmental nuisance as a result of the hours of operation of the lights for this proposal, then there are other alternatives that Council consider to manage that site.
Thank you. Any other questions, Councillor? Councillor Medley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to commend the club. I'll be supporting the application. I believe the development of the project will allow the club to have more participants, both new and existing players, to be able to play longer and continue at the club. That's particularly important for the older participants. Hopefully we'll see some continuing improved outcomes and health, or just remaining active and participating.
having a deep involvement at Prospect Bar Park, where there's significant light array there, one of the largest in the north of the state, the hours there where there's thousands of participants per week, we never see use of the lights go past 10 o'clock in my experience, which is over 20 years. So I'd find it highly unlikely that would happen in Westbury. So just in conclusion, I'd like to commend the club on their endeavour in securing the funds and undertaking the project, which I think will enhance the sport and rec offering here in Westbury and be a really good thing for the community.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor House.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Councillor Smedley and everything he said there. But I would like to take the opportunity of thanking the planners. It sort of occurs to me that sometimes the amount of work gets a bit unacknowledged from the planning department. I suspect that there's been a lot of work gone into this, as it does with everything. I continue to be impressed by the thorough approach to matters of this nature. There's a lot of research, a lot of consideration. And I think the members of the community can take comfort as well. That these decisions aren't made lightly and they're not made without a whole lot of effort and thought. So I'd just like to note that if I could, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with the comments of Councillor Smedley and most of the councillors. I think the Bowls Club is really a much-loved facility in our town. It promotes social inclusion, activity, which are all things that help us stay well for longer, so that's really great. I do, however, think the neighbours' concerns about light pollution are very valid, and it does. The new lights will change how it looks and feels around Franklin Street. So I think the fact that they have put in representations to ask about these matters is extremely valid and extremely important. But I'm very comfortable to support this application after the rigorous questioning given our four planners and the fact that 11 o'clock really is a contingency plan. And I note on page 161 of the agenda, the applicant says, wouldn't think they'd ever be on this long, referring to 11 o'clock. So it really does come across like it is purely a contingency plan. So because of that, I'm happy to support it. And also I have a deal of comfort with what our planner has said, that should it cause annoyance, there is a mechanism or a pathway that residents can take to have their concerns addressed. So I'll be supporting it.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Temple.
Mr. Mayor, may I move an amendment?
You can, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And that is in relation to permit conditions one, following on from where the word daily stopped, and then put, however, it is recommended that the lights are normally extinguished by 10 p.m. Stop.
I'll wait till we get this up on the screen so we all can see that.
Thank you.
Menendez, sorry. Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, but I'm sort of comfortable with the idea that perhaps could have gone to the point of saying no new games commenced after 10 years. Now on my game tapes.
Councillor Temple, can you read your sentence again, please? However, it is recommended that...
That the lights normally are extinguished by 10 p.m.
So this is the amendment, so we're just voting on the amendment.
Not yet, and then second.
However, it is recommended that the lights normally are extinguished at 10 p.m.
By 10 p.m.
By 10 p.m. Okay.
Okay, so just to be clear on where we are, so Councillor Temple has moved an amendment and Council will call for a seconder of Councillor Temple's amendment. And if there is one, then we will have debate and seek advice from the planner around the enforcement of a potential change to that condition.
Can we see it on the screen first, please?
Be extinguished by 10 p.m. Yep, and just drag across. Yep, screen.
That's for council. We have right of these four tables in.
Right, so we have an amendment to the motion put by Council. Seconded the motion. Councillor Sinfield has seconded the motion. Councillor Temple is the mover of the motion. Would you like to speak to your motion, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Simply, I realise it's not, that wording is not enforceable, but it is there so that future operators are aware of the community expectation.
Thank you. Councillor Sinfield is the seconder. Any vote?
I possibly wasn't going to support it, but I did like the words just uttered, but that it isn't enforceable, but it does provide some level of indication. I was trying to think, you know, some alternative might have been that no new game was commenced after 10 p.m. Allow for that scenario, assuming that a game wasn't going to take you beyond 11 o'clock anyway, but that you know, it's going to be my pet phrase today. It does provide some level of comfort, those words, without, as is likely the case, not enforceable in any real way.
Yeah, General Manager, it's at the top.
Yes, look, just my only comment, Mayor, being that we are operating as a planning authority and we're talking about introducing additional wording to the planning condition one, which, you know, we'll need the level of enforceability. So I guess I'll refer to the team of the town plan for a comment perhaps on the proposed amendment before that would be debated.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. I guess in relation to how the amendment to the condition is worded, I feel it is contradictory in terms of it's allowing the operation to 11 p.m. but yet in a condition we are recommending that the lights be extinguished by 10 p.m. My experience in relation to the structure of conditions is that they need to be explicit in terms of what we're asking here, and that we shouldn't have any recommendations in a condition. So my recommendation to council would be that that be included as a note rather than to that condition. So you could have referred a note one and then have note one, it is recommended that the lights normally be extinguished by 10 p.m. because I don't think that unable to enforce them to turn them off at 10 p.m. is possible where we have the condition saying they can operate to 11 p.m. Alternatively, you could amend that condition to be 10 p.m, 10:30 p.m, 10:15, if you want to restrict the 11 p.m. time frame.
Thank you. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Temple, for putting this forward. I can see what you're trying to do, and I appreciate that. However, especially based on the advice, I don't think it provides the level of comfort for me than it does for Councillor Sinfield. And importantly, it doesn't really do anything other than slightly contradicts what's been written above. We have, in the documents that we've been provided, got a level of commitment that the 11 p.m. Time frame is only for, you know, the that catch-all in case it goes across. They make sure that they're always compliant. And don't find themselves in a situation where they have to cut off the lights halfway through a game in the rare occasion that that happens. So on that basis, I wouldn't support what's there, and I don't support changing the time back to, say, 10 or 10:30 or any other time. I'm willing to accept what has been provided to us. Also, I'm willing to accept that because, as we've stated before, this is approved subject to the lighting meeting the Australian standards, and that if there is further nuisance that is felt by the neighbours and those living around the area, we can head into the EPN discussion and revisit this should there be a situation where we find that the 11 o'clock timeline is actually insufficient. But my feeling is that we won't be having that discussion because it seems very rare that we will be going to 11 p.m. In reference to your comments on, you know, the possibility of it going to 11 p.m, Councillor Temple, I have a great respect for the members of the bowls club, but they don't strike me as people who would stay up all night playing bowls. And in terms of the potential of youth involvement, I think I'm still qualified to speak on behalf of the youth of the Meander Valley when I say that bowls until midnight does not sound like the most favourable thing for me to be doing on a Saturday night. I'm willing to try it once, but I doubt I'll be trying it a second time. So on that basis, I thank you for bringing the amendment, but I won't be supporting it.
Thanks, Councillor Dunman. Councillor Smedley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just noted that the Bowls Club's been in existence since 1976, so that's a good 48 years. They've served the community here in Westbury, so I'm prepared to just take them on their word that they'll work with the community going forward as well.
Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, I won't be supporting it. I just think it's overcomplicating things. I was happy with what was put before us. I think Councillor Smedley sums it up quite well, and I think it's just sort of just tampering with words and it means nothing.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors, comments before I go back to the second of the motion, Councillor Sidfield?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I won't be supporting this. I think the addition of the altered motion that's now before us and the fact that we can go to the EPN, etc., is probably enough to get the job done in a reasonable manner, and I appreciate the
comments of the other councillors on this in that. So, yes, if it had stayed as the original motion, then I mightn't be as happy. But the changes made and the scrutiny that will be on it, I think, is enough to persuade me that what we've now got before us is the right way to go.
Yeah, Councillor Temple has moved the motion. Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say that, you know, I'd be happy if that became a note to the permit condition one, as suggested as a possibility by the planner. I think it's still important that it's there. I've got great confidence in the Bowls Club and their management of today, but this is something that we're still running in 30 or 50 years. The world will be a changed world. And unless we have something like that in there, no one will be aware of what the thoughts were of today.
Thanks, Councillor. You can move an alternative motion after this one regarding the note that you may want in the recommendation, but on that basis, I'll put the motion.
So, Mayor, just to be clear, so we are only voting for the proposed amendment from Councillor Temple and Councillor Sinfield. If it is successful, this wording is added into the motion. If it's unsuccessful, then we revert back to the original motion, which was moved by Councillor Tubman and Councillor Kelly.
Correct. Thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Councillor Temple is for. Against? That's everyone else, I'm sorry. So, motion is lost.
Well, for the exercise, I'll move a second amendment, and that is that it forms a note to point one of the permit conditions.
We just wait for the scribe takers to catch up. Councillor Temple has put together as an amendment. To put that as a note.
So would Councillor Temple like to move an amendment or foreshadow an alternative motion? Sorry.
No, move an amendment.
Move a further amendment, okay.
Yes. Yep. Based on the advice of the planner.
Be it Councillor Temple, your motion, sorry, your amendment is the same, but it being...
But the placement of it is as a note.
Rather than a condition.
Yes. We'll test that. If I have a second then.
We'll need to look further afield.
Oh dear.
Occasion. At the desk.
I'm sure the Mayor would be delighted to second that for me.
Good, then I'd sit down as the chair, but anyway.
It's always the easiest applications that take the longest time.
Like last night, Mick, you won't have to worry about it.
Sorry?
I say if it's like last night, you don't have to worry about it. It just goes off all by itself.
Oh, it's going out.
Yes.
Okay, Councillor Temple, does the wording on the screen reflect your intent yes. there? So an additional note be included, so the entire recommendation being the same, with the introduction of an additional note 7. As on the screen, so Councillor Temple has moved me. You'll look for this.
Do I have a second note for that? The House. Can I go to the planners and ask their opinion of this additional number 7, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The question could be asked, do you want it to, after condition 1, to say refer to note 7, or whether you just have it as a standalone condition note? That would be my only question. I do not see any concerns by having it as a note.
I might just add to that a note on a permit isn't going to provide any certainty that this is going to occur. We've got more certainty using the provisions of EMCA and EPN if there is a nuisance that arises from this.
Good. Yes, Councillor Temple.
Simply, Mr. Mayor, all this does is leave a trail for future generations to find should they wish to.
Thank you.
It's not something that would be of any benefit within the foreseeable future. But it's something out there for 30 or 50 years from now.
Thank you. Councillor House, second on the motion.
Not much to add, Mr. Mayor. I just think it's a reasonable compromise. I'm in favour of adding that as a note.
Good. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you again, Councillor Temple, for what you're trying to do. I do respect that. Again, I don't think that it A, does anything, and B, I still think it convolutes the situation, because we're telling them it has to be off by 11, but you know, I would like it to be off by 10.
And that's how we feel.
Yeah, no, and I respect that. I just don't feel that it really does anything or adds to the development application. So if it has the support of the council, I'm ambivalent, but I'm reluctant to vote in support of
it. Simple.
Yeah, I'm warming to it. I probably agree with the planners that it would be a good idea if permit note 1 referenced permit note 7.
Condition 1,
I should say. But other than that, I'm happy to support it, I think.
Thank you. Any other comments, councillors? No. So that was your wrap up as a seconder, Councillor Simfield. Back to Councillor. Councillor House.
I'm done, thank you.
Councillor Temple, happy to put the motion?
Again, Mr. Mayor, it is just to leave a trail there for the future so people are aware of what the initial intent was. I believe it's if it's just left baldly at 11 o'clock, sometime in the future will think 11 o'clock is fine.
Thank you. Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. There you go. All right. Johnston, Sinfield, Temple, House, against. Kelly, Dudman, Smedley, Loader. It's a tie. The motion is.
Amendment is lost.
Amendment is lost.
Yep.
Wow.
Dudman, Kelly, Smedley, and who? Sorry.
You got close at that time.
Do I go for a third?
No. Please, just put your hand in.
Assassination may be attempted to take place.
Righto, back to the original motion, way back about 40 minutes ago.
Can I move a procedural motion that we take to a vote?
Love you to.
I think that's what he was going to do.
Thank you. We'll just wait till we get caught up and we're... Okay, procedural motion has been moved by Councillor Dudman that the motion be, the vote be taken. Just make sure you're right. Sorry.
Seconded.
Thank you. Move, seconded.
You've just got to be moved.
Right, accepted. Going to put the vote. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand.
On the procedural motion or on the motion?
On the motion itself. I think I can accept the procedural motion without having to go to a vote, Councillor. Johnson, Kelly, Dudman, Smedley, Sinfield, Loader, House are all against. Councillor Temple.
I'd just like it recorded that I voted against, Mr. Mayor, because I don't believe that the motion reflects the true intention of the council.
Thank you, Councillor Temple. I think I can accept it. Good thing we haven't got any important to talk about. Hey.
I think we do have to vote.
I think you do.
Planning Authority item 12.3, 170 King Street. Somebody like to move? We have no speakers for this. Just checking. Do we need Councillor Cameron's probably gone home?
No, I should say.
Councillor Medley.
I was probably out of grey hairs from when I seen it.
Right. We'll wait for it to get seated.
Hey, what's...
We're totally tapped out. Right, so we've got no speakers to this one. Councillor Smedley is...
No, so there were no representatives listed to speak, Mayor.
Councillor Smedley has stepped out.
Yeah.
Somebody like to move, somebody like to second this one, please.
Oh,
Councillor Lowder, thank you. You did that before, Anne-Marie, my apologies. Seconder, please. Councillor Dunman, thank you. Away we go, Councillor Lowder.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm happy to support this motion. I want to note that it is for a subdivision and not for actual buildings to go on the land. The block sizes are nice and large. I also want to note that the White House is rather an iconic building in Westbury, and it really does need to be looked after. And it is looking really awesome. The current owners keep the facade looking very, very nice and neat. Again, I do want to note that it's just a subdivision. I've spent a lot of time looking at this because I do really love the Village Green. The Village Green attracts visitors to Westbury and indeed the whole Meander Valley. It's a place where we have our St Patrick's Festival and other gatherings. It's where you can go and get fish and chips on Wednesday night and sit down and really enjoy this beautiful place that people hundreds of years ago set aside and planted beautiful trees. So I don't like using that word, taking comfort. We're all taking a lot of comfort today in this meeting. But I have taken a lot of comfort from the heritage assessment that basically says you can't put a whole heap of units on lot 2, which faces the green. So the fact that there can only be a single dwelling on that block, I think, is really important. And up until I read that, I was really quite concerned about it. But that really did clinch it for me. The fact that the Heritage Council has come and said these conditions must be in place, which is on page 290 and 291 of the agenda. And because of that, I'm happy to support this application.
Thank you. Councillor Simpson, do you have a query there before?
I believe that he did need to pass the procedural motion before we pass the thing according to Regulation 20 or 21, Regulation 4 says if a chairperson of a meeting accepts a procedural motion, no discussion on the procedural motion is to be allowed, and the procedural motion is to be put to the vote. If the chairperson of the meeting, blah, blah, the rest doesn't matter. But that would appear to me that following motions, going back to subregulation one, the following motions or their negatives are procedural motions, that the motion be now put. So that is procedural motion, I would have thought. So probably not going to make any difference at the end of the day, but...
No, you've raised it.
I think it's a two-step...
Yeah, no, that's right. You raised it. I was wrong. We will go through this procedure, through this item in front of us. Then we have a mover and a second, and we'll come back to that previous item to clarify. Thank you. Councillor Dudman, a second on the motion.
My apologies to speed things up to double the time it's going to take, but that's okay. In reference to the item before us, I am also happy to support this one, namely because... And my thanks to the applicant in what they've done here. The block sizes are reasonable. I think the covenants that have been put on from the heritage are reasonable as well, and it protects the fauna. But importantly, as Councillor Loda says, limits the dwellings on lot 2 to 1, which is obviously facing the village green. It is important to note that I am aware that some who have made representations against this application are concerned about potential future developments on the sites should this be approved. Whilst that isn't relevant for the matter at hand, I think it is a good thing to note that condition that will be on lot 2 really limits the the scope of what will be put on that lot, and generally speaking, I think there's an understanding that keeping to the character of the village green is important for people who live in that vicinity and around that area, and I know that's happened with a recent development at this site as well. So I'm more than happy to support this development application. I've lived here for 26, almost 27 years, and I've always wondered when the side of the White House was going to be cut off, because it was always a bit of a vacant block with not much happening to it. So here we are. No one to have a discussion.
Good, thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask the letter from the decision from the Heritage Council. In reference to a mulberry tree, what does that mean in practical terms with a fence? Is the mulberry tree close to a proposed fence? Or, I just have a greater understanding of what the implications of that point two is, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I understand that tree is shown on the plan of subdivision, and it appears to be that the trunk of it is within lot three.
Yes.
So I understand that any sort of fencing work or work in that area would need to comply with Heritage's requirements. Yes. So I guess that would include the footings for any fence as well.
If I may continue, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
In reference to when we get to advice, they're talking about a crossover. In the whole process of future development, when would a crossover be likely to be installed, and would the people that are installing the crossover or be aware of this recommendation?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The driveway crossovers will be installed prior to sealing a final plan, that is the creation of the new titles. The notice of heritage decision in full will be attached to the planning permit and is referred to in the conditions of the planning permit. And we have also included a referral to a note at the relevant condition about the new driveway crossings that they consult with Heritage Tasmania in proposing their works.
Thank you.
Yes, if I may, Mr. Mayor, it's probably going to put our Director of Works and Infrastructure on the spot. Given what they've said here, and given that, you know, we do work in the road corridor, fence to fence, how will we note what Heritage Tasmania has actually recommended here in terms of future treatments in that street adjacent to lot three, in terms of, you know, we've had representation earlier today in terms of William Street and changes we made there, which may or may not have been adjacent to heritage listed properties, at least in some part. How do we dovetail what's recommended here with our ongoing works and development programs in general, I guess, as well as with particular reference to this one. If that question made sense.
It's a curly one, Ronnie, because they're thinking about it.
I think, Councillor Sinfield, we're referring directly to the advice from Heritage Tasmania on page 290.
291.
Yeah, and 291, same letter, which really only relates to the application referral that was made to Heritage Tas. So yes, we're only considering it for this assessment before us. And so I guess your question is probably outside of the scope of the planning assessment, but if the director have a comment that they'd like to make around council's future work in the road reserve around footpaths and driveways in that vicinity, they can, but I guess it's not reflective. The referral from Heritage Tas was specifically for the subdivision applications.
But if I may add, the the stipulation there or the recommendation to the proponent, you know, in terms of the subdivision, is that they put a certain type of crossover in. How do we ensure that we, in our processes, as a council, moving forward, dovetail into that request, that we don't next week turn up and put in a curb and gutter in front of where should we approve the subdivision, that we've, you know, just gone ahead and done something else anyway. So it's placing a level of incumbency upon the proponent, concomitant requirement, if any, is on us to not only ensure the proponents sort of adhering to the substance of what's required, but that we, as the relevant road authority, do the same.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just trying to find the reference, actually. I was concentrating on something else to advise Councillor Simpkins, so I wasn't really on the item.
All right.
But I suppose, in terms of our duties of organisation, I mean, we're certainly aware of the copies of that, you know, heritage registration and the precincts that they are within. So therefore, you know, any work that we do, like you would recall that we did proposed work at the Village Green in recent times with some development there, that we obviously need to be sympathetic to the fact of the heritage values of the Green and the surrounding area. So I suppose in terms of any work that we do, we consult with heritage the same to make sure that, you know, it's commensurate with what their expectation and community expectation would be for those areas. Does that answer your question, or?
Oh, I think so, yes. It probably means the swale's going to stay there for a while.
Well, I mean, I won't get into the detail, but certainly there's bluestone on the front edge of Kitchen Street in the drain, which has obviously got some heritage value in relation to the facade of the front edge of that property. So certainly in terms of contemporary infrastructure and the balance of all those things are things that we will consult with the necessary experts to make sure that we can outcome with the infrastructure changes that agree well with all parties.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, councillors? Councillor Semple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My vote, I suppose, relies heavily on the recommendations of the Heritage Council. I'm concerned with Lot 3, that they, in the, with Lot 2, they've stipulated it must be one dwelling only, and the dwelling must be sympathetic, but there's no such references made to Lot 3, which is certainly within the curtilage of Lot 1. I'm just concerned as to, is there any protection to stop Lot 3 becoming eight dwellings or eight units or something along those lines?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So Lot 3, when it's created, will inherit a Tasmanian Heritage listing as well.
Yeah.
And for as long as it retains that listing, any sort of use or development applications for that property will be referred to Tasmanian Heritage. So they will have input, potentially, into what development is allowed on that lot, as long as it remains heritage listed.
Any other questions, Councillor Cameron?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
No, I don't really have a question. I just had a comment to make. Obviously, the White House is of significant importance to Westbury and the heritage that we need to celebrate. So to see that heritage report, particularly about Lot 2, was really quite important for me in making my decision in supporting this application.
Thank you. Anything else, councillors? Councillor Simpkins.
Just a comment. For me, yes, it's only about subdivision at this stage. They are large lots that are being created. They're not right down at the bottom end. And yes, for me, the level of comfort in the heritage report makes a difference. A couple of their words would have been nice if they were different. And so I'll support it on the basis that there is a level of comfort in that document.
We note that in the minutes. We don't very often get that out of Councillor Sinfield when he's in debate. So thank you. Okay. Any other discussion, Councillor? If not, back to Councillor Dudman as second of the motion. No. Councillor Loder is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. It is this report from the Heritage Council that has made me, and I'm going to raise comfort to confident. I am confident that because of this document, that area will be developed in a sensitive way. I do want to thank the people that put in objections. It's great that we have people in our community who are watching what goes on and are prepared to put pen to paper. And it's not an easy thing to do that. It's not an easy thing to come to a council meeting, whether you're speaking or just sitting in the gallery. So I thank them. But as we've all said, we are looking at a subdivision. We're not looking at new dwellings. And the Heritage Council has given us a level of confidence that this is going to be developed sensitively in the future.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That is unanimous. Very good. Thank you, councillors. Those in the public gallery, if you wish to leave now before we continue with the rest of the meeting, please do so. We head now out of planning items and into corporate services. Oh, my apologies. We don't head out of that because we're going to go backwards. Sorry. You can still leave if you so wish, but we are going to go back to planning authority. Yeah, bye, Steph. We do need a step, so we had a procedural motion put from Councillor Dudman. I took it that I didn't need a seconder. I do need a seconder. I think Councillor Smedley might have put his hand up there at one stage. I think he did.
I did.
Sorry, I called Councillor Smedley.
Well, I think so.
So, procedural motion, we've got a mover and a seconder.
Just a two-step process.
Just to clarify, Mayor, so there's two ways of looking at it. Was item 24256 9 Franklin Street. So there are two ways that it could be viewed. It could be viewed that the procedural motion put forward by Councillor Dudman was lost by way of no seconder, and therefore the vote that occurred, all councillors were aware of the vote that was being made and that the vote is valid. Or we could revisit decision if councillors are unclear of what had occurred and then reconsider the procedural motion that was put by Councillor Dudman.
Okay, so you just heard from the General Manager.
I don't consider myself one to lose votes often, so I prefer not to go down that path, but I'll leave it to you.
I can go back and redo the vote. I don't think the outcome's going to change that much.
Go back and redo it.
So the procedural motion was moved by Councillor Dudman and Councillor Smedley. Caught my eye. Sorry, Councillor Rode, if you did do that. So that's the mover and the seconder. Are we happy to put the motion?
You've got to accept it. You've got to accept it.
I've accepted. I accept that procedure motion. Amen. Put the motion. All those in favour of the procedure motion say aye. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. I then go on to the actual motion itself, which was moved by Councillor Dudman, seconded by Councillor Kelly.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for you.
So, thanks, Mayor. Just to confirm that the item was as moved, inclusive of the additional permit note from Councillor Temple.
Yes, it was. That's my understanding.
Thank you.
As a note.
Sorry,
It was a tied vote.
Sorry, it was a tied vote.
That means it's lost.
Yes.
So we're back to the original.
Original motion you now want to put.
The original motion.
As
printed in the agenda.
No.
Oh, sorry, as it's printed with the amendments.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, as with points 2 and 3. That's all right.
Okay. So with the three conditions that were moved.
Yeah.
Thank you. As moved by Councillor Dudman and seconded by Councillor Kelly.
Are we all clear? I'm just checking it. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you.
We reconvene at Corporate Services item 13.1. I just want to note that there's a number of interruptions with the live streaming. It's actually been a bit of a distraction, so we'll have to review the circumstances about why that's occurred after the meeting, so just making you aware that there's interruptions with that live stream, so it may not be a true record when it's loaded.
Thank you. Jim, Corporate Services 13.1, page 294. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Kelly. Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Kelly is the mover of the motion. Thank you. Councillor House.
Yes, I've got a couple of comments. Just received the audit report in favour of that. Good to see 100% attendance for all members in the past 12 months. And it is, of course, it is a key oversight and governance requirement for the council. And it's a blend of internal and external resource members, so I think that's pretty important. But it is core to risk management and compliance, and I think the audit panel has worked well in the past 12 months, so happy to support.
Thanks, Councillor House. Open up for discussion, councillors. Any comments? No. Reinforce Councillor House's comments. It is part of what we need to do as a council. We need to be compliant, obviously, and the audit panel do that well. So well done to those that sit on the audit panel, be they from in council or out of council. Put the motion. All those in favour say aye. Raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. Audit panel minutes. Councillor Kelly is the mover. Seconder, please. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Kelly is the mover.
No comment.
Thank you, Councillor Dudman.
As a member of the audit committee, I'm happy to take it as it's written.
Yeah, thank you. Questions, comments, councillors? Take it as read. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Against? Unanimous. Thank you. So 13.3, page 312, appointment of audit panel member. Somebody like to move, somebody like seconds. Councillor House and Loader. Nearly
a
dead
beat. That was a draw.
Councillor House is the mover.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, as the person stepping down, as I've been on that panel for some time, it's been a great honour and pleasure to be able to be on that panel, but circumstances have changed and I'm not able to do it in the short term. And Councillor Temple has volunteered, so I guess it's a little bit like the Olympics. I'm passing on the baton and I'm sure Councillor Temple is just going to run with it and go full speed.
Well, Councillor Lowe,
particularly. Thank you, Mayor. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Councillor House for being on the on this panel, and also Councillor Dudman. I want to acknowledge that for us, being a councillor isn't a full-time position, and it means that we have to juggle paid work and different commitments in order to serve on these panels. So thank you very much to both of them. And also thank you very much to Councillor Temple for stepping up
and running. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you, Councillor. Any other comments, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. That is unanimous again. Thank you. So 13.4, page 314, review of policy number 92, financial hardship assistance. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Dudman, thank you. As a seconder, Councillor Smedley, thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. I am supportive of the review of the policy and the changes that have been made. Of course, it's just updating what was a policy that came out of COVID into a more contemporary policy that does provide opportunities for council to provide our assistance for people experiencing financial hardship. So I'm more than happy to commend the item to the meeting.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Smedley is the seconder of the motion.
No problem.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, Councillor Kelly.
Yes, a couple of questions to the General Manager. First question, has it ever been used?
Yes, it has, Councillor Kelly. So we have received applications in the range of 5 to 10 per year of people who own property but are experiencing financial hardship for a range of reasons, and they have requested, application of elements of the policy to assist them to get back on their feet. So that's about the volume that we're talking about.
Second question. How do we actually find, or do we as councillors have access to those people that have applied for this?
Councillors don't. It's administrative policy, so that's operational, councillor.
Another question. Mm-hmm. What sort of scrutiny has taken place to make sure that it is genuine?
So when we receive applications, the owner completes a range of fields. So they can submit a form online, or they can submit a hard copy form or an email, and they provide supporting evidence that substantiates their financial position. So perhaps Director Craig, you'd like to sort of outline, but they have a look at the applications. So
they're under 5.3 is a listing of the types of information that we would request.
Right, so I'm trying to think of an example for you, Councillor. We may receive supporting letter from Anglicare about somebody that's in suffering hardship, or could be from their financial institution, demonstrating that they're struggling to meet their mortgage repayments. They're the source of evidence that we would receive.
One more question, Alan.
One more.
To the General Manager, so you're satisfied that the what would you call it, the checks and balances that are in place could not be abused in any way, shape or form, and that you would raise it if it was?
My opinion is that it hasn't been, Councillor. Today, and hopefully that continues.
Thank you.
Councillor Lowder.
Thank you, Mayor. I support this motion and the update to the policy. I think if one good thing came out of COVID, it's probably this. And 5.3 has got a really robust list of documentation that is necessary in order to apply for this. As somebody who deals with the community, I often make what we call a warm referral to a different organisation if someone comes to talk to me about adult literacy and it's an issue that I can't manage. I make a warm referral to another agency. So if someone does make an application for this, do council staff refer them to Anglicare or some other, like Launceston Community Legal Centre or some other service to help them get the documentation they need?
I may have to refer to Director Craig Davis, but look, at times we have to liaise with Centrelink, so there is an agency, but not necessarily the support services that I think you are seeking, but Craig?
It's probably more a case-by-case basis, I think, really, that we're working with members of the community who apply under this policy. We're absolutely open and active to work with them to help them meet the requirements of the policy. And then on a case-by-case basis, we would offer any other assistance that fit at the time.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, any other questions, councillors? Councillor Medley, Councillor Sindrill.
Apart from what I raised at the workshop about the spelling of dependent, I'm happy to support the motion, given that according to the internet, which would never lie, dependent is a noun that refers to a person. Dependent is an adjective that describes anything that is contingent, reliable, or determined by something or someone. One's an Americanisation and one's the Anglicanisation that existed for hundreds of years. But apart from that, and I won't die in a ditch over it, happy to support the motion.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Smedley, the second of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In respect of the circumstances that have to be demonstrated, I believe that shows great rigour in respect of hardship, so I'm more than happy to support this.
Thank you, Councillor Dunman, as mover.
Okay.
All good. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. 13.5, page 327, review of policy number 77, rates and charges. Somebody like to move. Thank you, Councillor Dudman. Somebody like to second. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman, take the mover.
Thank you, Mayor. We're once again, happy to support this policy review, and in doing so, I would make a point. I said it to Craig before, but I'm happy to say it again on the public record, that it is great that he's been able to provide such detailed, comprehensive and well-written policies to us councillors. I think it's a great thing, and it shows his incredible talents in his role. And I fully support the work that he's doing and thank him for that. And I think it's a testament of the quality of that work that, you know, these two items have come before us, and there hasn't been a great need to change anything because it's so well written. So I think that also displays the level of trust and respect that we have in you, Craig. So keep up the great work.
Election's over 2 years away, Councillor, but anyway. Councillor Cameron is second of the motion.
I don't know what to say. I really like you too, Craig, and I think we've done a really good job. I don't know. Great job, fantastic, you're amazing. Thank you so much. I think we might have all lost
it. Watching there, Craig.
It is an important policy, and I do appreciate
what people on the other side do when they're in front of the camera.
Right, open up for discussion, councillors.
Oh,
there is no. Okay, right.
It's just so
right. Happy to put the vote in. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you.
Tough work, Craig.
That's a gusher, that
is. No one could add to that.
No. Right. Moving on to governance. 40.1, legislative delegations, page 343. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Smedley, thank you. Seconder. Thank you. Councillor Smedley is the mover.
Nothing.
Councillor Dudman is the seconder.
Look, happy to endorse the recommendation. I thank Wesley for providing the list of detail that he did on, I believe, the 28th of June. But otherwise, I'm happy to have it taken. Oh, and John Harmy, Anthea, for the great work that she's doing. Currently, I'm the delegate for providing compliments to council staff. Yes, no one else in this building does, but I'm always happy to support the workers and will continue to do so. Thank you.
Well done, Councillor Harmy.
The best pocket pisser here, Ben.
And we will move along. Any other comments, councillors? Right, councillors?
Yeah, a question. Didn't have time to turn my mind to this for very long, but in the days leading up since we've had it, I guess my query is, this is in addition to what we've done before. It's not replacing all we've done before, is it?
Yes. Yes, it'll be replacing the delegation that was done from council to general manager in 2018.
But not that which we did earlier this year.
The one we did earlier this year was the Land Use Planning Act one, and that was directly from council to council officers, whereas the majority of these are council to the general manager, with the exception of a further one delegation under the Land Use Planning Act. Yes.
So I guess that's what concerns me, or that we have on the record, that that is what's happening, because normally when we directly remove, you know, a previous motion, or we update something that goes to a motion, it's the new. So it was just the confusion about the fact that there is, and I can't find the page in front of me, where we've page 345, where we've dealt with the Looper Act. And, yeah, it was a concern that those two, in effect, go together and not a replacement.
I don't see that as a problem with this, as the additional Land Use Planning Act delegation is to a position that wasn't delegated under that lot of delegations, so there's no conflict there.
Okay, but anyway, we've got it on that. got it on the record, so
happy. Okay, any other comments, questions? Councillor Dubman, second or anything to add? Councillor Smedley, anything to add? Okay, put the motion. All those in favour, please aye. Raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. 14.2, lease of premises to Apex Club, Deloraine Inc, page 335. A mover and a seconder, please. Councillor House, seconder. Councillor Dudman. Councillor House is the mover.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm very happy to be able to support this. I think my love for the Apex Club of Deloraine is well known. What this will do will allow the Apex Club of Deloraine to continue the great work that they've done since 1970, when they built and planned and built the caravan park as we know it. The club's made an outstanding contribution, in my view, countless volunteer hours over the years, and they've had some great infrastructure as well. And I think the community is very fortunate to have the Deloraine Apex Club. It's still going strong. It's a bit of a rarity, as it turns out, that'd be the case, but I think it's a great testament to those members now and those in the past. So I would like to congratulate them on behalf of the community and extend best wishes for the future for what comes from this point on with the caravan park.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dudman, the seconder.
Thank you, Mayor. Definitely concur with Councillor House in regards to his comments about the success and the importance of the Apex Club. I'd also like to note the importance in formalising this agreement to make sure that there is a clear understanding in the community and between all stakeholders in the site of who owns what and how it's managed. So I understand that a lot of work has gone into this process to get it to this point, and I thank you for the vote.
Thank you. And Councillor Kelly.
Exactly what Councillor House has said. They've been an amazing organisation, Deloraine. Quite often, more than likely, they fly under the radar most of the time. People don't really appreciate what goes on behind the scenes. They don't crave for praise. They just go about and get the jobs done silently. Occasionally, paperwork and things like that get overlooked by everyone. And these guys are such hands-on that, in their eyes, getting the job done is more important than paperwork. However, you do have to have things formalised. And we are extremely fortunate. I wish them very well into the future. So, yeah, very happy to support this.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. I just really want to make a note to thank and support this generation of Apex members for the work that they've put into getting this far. It hasn't really been an easy road, but they have really stuck at it and shown the community what an extraordinary bunch of people they are. So really thank you to the Apex Club and to Wes and everyone else on council that's worked through this. I know it's been a bit of a process, but it's fantastic to finally see it really sorted out, and I look forward to seeing some of the changes that will be made there. I think it's going to be a great space, so thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Lader.
Thanks, Mayor. I'd like to echo all those thoughts too and wish the Apex Club all the very best as they continue to manage the caravan park. It's obviously a much loved area and people keep coming back again and again because it's not just beautiful, but it's they receive a warm welcome and the site is well maintained. So, yes, I wish them all the best too.
Thank you. John Sidfield.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just a query about lease, confirming that there's no overlap or... overlap doesn't matter, but underlap in terms of the lease. You've said the term shall be until September 2032, which is 8 odd years, and then a further 10. So their current lease, which I think was a sort of a moving thing, wasn't it, to some extent, while we resolved what we were doing?
So
really just a comment on the lease arrangement.
Yeah, so the Apex's current lease expired some time ago. The dates that you're referring to, we are aligning with council's lease for that area of land and state government. So that's largely dictated the periods of time that we're talking about.
Very good. I
just want to add to what everyone else has said, bear to them, the changes and the things that they're proposing going forward. I hope it all works out.
Thank you. I will add that as well to the APEX Code, but also I will add to yourself and Wesley, John, for the work that you did in actually getting us, dragging us into the future, I suppose, in one sense. We were dragging our toes and dragging our feet and everything else behind for a few years, but we're here, so I'm sure the community will be appreciative that, the leases are up to date and will continue on, so well done to both of you. So, on the basis, I'll put the motion, please. All those in favour? Against? Forwards, Johnson, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Smedley, Sinfield, Loader, House, and against was Councillor Temple. Yeah. 14.3, lease of premises to Westbury Men's Shed, Inc, page 359. Somebody like move, somebody like second. Ooh, Councillor Smedley was in front. And I did give Councillor Dudman. Sorry, Councillor Smedley.
Who got Brian?
I'm happy to speak in support of the proposal. I just noted on the Men's Shed page here that Men's Sheds are very much about helping individuals transition from working life to retirement, providing a place of camaraderie and helping connect to other people in the community, essentially building new friendships and mateships. And importantly, that will help their mental health, and that's a very important thing for the community. So, well done.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Dudman.
Thanks, Mayor. I'm a great supporter of the Westbury Men's Shed, and it's great to see, hopefully, the passage of this item that this council is as well. They are a wealth of experience and community vibrancy in our area, and it's great that we're able to support them in any way we can. Of course, they are at some stage transitioning to a new permanent home, but in the meantime, this is a great opportunity to provide some security for them.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, Councillor Loader.
Thank you. Yes, I echo those sentiments as well. Loneliness is a really big thing, and people can get to know each other and learn skills. I think it was fantastic that the Men's Shed participated in our Lift Local suite of activities, and the feedback from that was just really, really positive. So I wish them well as they negotiate their future, and am pleased to support this to help them in the interim period.
Thank you. Any other comments, councillors? Councillor House.
Thank you. Just very quickly, just very similar to the APEX Club, I think we're very lucky, very fortunate to have people like that in our community that are helping each other. And you know, that's what makes us the great community that we are. So good on them.
Yes, well said, Councillor House. Any other comments, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. And against? Unanimous, thank you. Motion to close meeting of the public, page 362. Someone would like to move, Mr. Dudman. A seconder, please. Councillor Cameron. Just put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. That is unanimous, thank you. End live streaming and recording. Thank you.